We come now to the end of the week, and I want to thank you for being here today. And when we left off last time, I was telling you about the post-resurrection appearances that Jesus Christ made to many. And we are still following along the outline I gave to you on Monday. Here it is. First is to say why the bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ means so much to Christians. And I've done that throughout the week. Second, I have wanted to give you some of the alternative explanations for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that skeptics give. Since skeptics reject the resurrection as described in the Bible, how then does the skeptic account for what happened to Jesus after his death? We've only had time for two alternative explanations. I already covered the first one, and we'll get to the second one later today. And then third, I want to give you the Christians' counterarguments against these alternative explanations. And we have done and will do more of that now. Throughout, I want to invite you to consider or reconsider what you think and believe about Jesus' resurrection. And to get at the skeptics' second alternative explanation, we've started with 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. In these verses, the Apostle Paul says Jesus made six post-mortem appearances. Briefly, and by way of review, a post-mortem appearance is seeing someone after that person has died. And note this, all of Jesus' post-mortem or after-death appearances were bodily, physical. Also summarizing 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8, I will not take time to read that again. Here are the people Paul says Jesus appeared to. First to Cephas, second to the 12, third to more than 500 brethren at one time, fourth to James, fifth to all the apostles, and sixth to Paul. There are other post-resurrection appearances written about in the Gospels, but I want to limit our scope to this 1 Corinthians 15 text. In total, Paul writes about six post-mortem appearances by the physical, bodily Jesus Christ. Yesterday we covered the first three, and now the second three. And the fourth one is to James. This James is the younger blood brother of Jesus. Mary and Joseph did go on to naturally have other children after Jesus was born. But here's the remarkable reality. None of Jesus' blood brothers believed in him while Jesus was alive. John chapter 7 and verse 5 says this clearly. For not even his brothers were believing in him. His own blood brothers did not believe Jesus was who he says that he was. Messiah, the prophet, and the very Son of God. However, watch what happens to James and the other brothers after the resurrection appearances. Please follow along with me in your Bible. After Jesus ascends to heaven, that is after he leaves the earth, look who's devoting themselves to prayer. Acts 1:14 says, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Now Jesus' brothers believe. Now listen to Acts chapter 12 and verse 17. This passage of scripture describes how Peter was miraculously led out of prison by an angel, and listen to who Peter instructs the other disciples to tell about this great news. Acts 12:17 says, "Report these things to James and the brethren." James is clearly a believer on the same side as Peter. James is now a believer. And when you have a chance, go over to the New Testament book of Galatians. As I have said last time, this is now Paul writing about his visit to Jerusalem 3 years after Jesus' resurrection. And listen now to verse 19. And in the first chapter at verse 19, so at Galatians 1:19, Paul wrote, "But I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother." Paul connects the name James with apostle. And apostle is obviously a close follower of Jesus. And so clearly James is now a firm believer that his half-brother Jesus is God. This is proved again when Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, "James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars." Here again, Paul puts James right next to Peter, Cephas, and John as the pillars of the early church. There is no way Paul would do this if James had not decided that Jesus was really the Son of God and worthy of his worship. And should you need even more proof, please read Acts 21:18 and 1 Corinthians 9:5. That's Acts 21 verse 18 and 1 Corinthians 9 verse 5. The point in all of this is that the reason James moves so dramatically from not believing in Jesus before the crucifixion to becoming an enthusiastic, faithful believer in Jesus, even to the point where James risked his life by becoming a leader in the church, is because Jesus appeared to James in Jesus' post-resurrection body. James' conversion is proof of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. James' conversion is proof of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Now, quickly, let me just touch on these last two post-mortem appearances mentioned by Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:7 says, he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. That was just the other apostles beyond the 12 mentioned specifically yesterday. And then Paul says, he appeared to me also. These are sweet words. And Jesus, as we know, appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Here is Paul, who once persecuted the Christians to death, but is now the leader of the Christians, and who is constantly under the very threat of death himself. Why? Because he has seen the risen Christ. Paul has seen the post-resurrection Jesus in physical, bodily form. I submit to you that based on this evidence, it is more probable than not the resurrection of Jesus happened exactly the way the Bible says it happened. Why do I believe the resurrection? Because the tomb is empty, and Jesus repeatedly appeared to these men and women bodily, physically. I firmly believe the testimony of the eyewitnesses of Jesus. Do you? Tragically, there are still many skeptics, and they have alternative explanations for the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Let me share with you now what they say about Jesus' many post-mortem appearances. Paul the Apostle has mentioned six, but there are others in the Gospels that we did not have time to cover. And yet, the skeptic says, the earliest followers of Christ, including Paul, experienced hallucinations, whereby they only thought they were seeing Christ. After all, an hallucination is an experience involving the apparent perception of something not present. In other words, the people described in 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8 thought they saw the risen Christ, when indeed they had not. According to Christian apologist Dr. William Lane Craig, this alternative explanation has its roots in the writing of the liberal Protestant German theologian David Friedrich Strauss, who lived and wrote between 1808 and 1874. But lest you think that was just some random and rarely used dead alternative explanation, it has remained popular due to the contemporary thinking and writing of Dr. Georg Ludemann. He is a German New Testament scholar, very much alive today in his early 70s. And he's written several popular books, including The Resurrection of Christ, What Really Happened to Jesus, and The Great Deception and What Jesus Really Said and Did. He upholds, teaches, and defends this alternative explanation at present. Now let me respond to the skeptic's alternative explanation, and I'm going to use the same logical criterion I introduced to you last time. Here again is that criterion. The alternative explanation must have greater explanatory power than the rival, the other explanation. So in this case, the explanation that all of the people in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection were hallucinating must have greater explanatory power than that Jesus actually did appear to them in a physical and bodily appearance. Let me say this again. The explanation that all of the people in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection were hallucinating, that must have greater explanatory power than that Jesus actually did appear to them in a physical bodily appearance. And so I ask you, does it? Does the skeptic's alternative explanation, hallucination, make more sense? Here is why this theory of the skeptic does not make sense. Let me relay quickly five reasons to you from Dr. Craig's book, Reasonable Faith. I'm deeply indebted to him. First, Jesus appeared not just one time, but many times. Second, Jesus appeared not just at one place and circumstance, but also at many places and circumstances. Third, Jesus appeared not to just one individual, but also to many different people. Fourth, Jesus appeared not just to individuals, but also to various groups. Fifth, Jesus appeared not just to believers, but also to unbelievers. And Jesus appeared even to his enemies. My friends, I believe with all my heart and mind that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And this week I have attempted to affirm this with you and with skeptics from the Bible and with the help of this apologist. We believe Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But it is up to you to decide for yourself what you believe. Will you think soberly about this on the weekend? Engage your brain. Ask critical questions of the Bible. Be open-minded and open-hearted when God, through His Spirit and His Word, leads you to the truth. Feel free to correspond with me about this by writing me an email or a letter. Now, when we get together, Lord willing, on Monday at this same time, I'm going to begin a new series with you. It's going to be exciting, but I'll save the details for next week. What you're going to want to do is invite someone new to join you, someone who is not yet listening with you, and have them switch on their radios or download the podcast for more as we continue to discover together, you and me, who God is.